Praise the Lord. Message number 153. The title of the message, God's Presence in Our Lives, Part 4. We'll continue in this message to speak of what we had started. We spoke in the previous three messages that inside the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. The staff of Aaron, and we spoke about it, the jar of manna, and also the tables of the testimonies. If you will open our Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 5 and verse 10, book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 10. We can read the following. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. And let us read also book of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 9 also about the Ark of the Covenant, what is inside it. There was nothing in the Ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. This is at the time when Solomon, after he built the temple of the Lord, he brought the Ark of the Covenant. And that was what is recorded, that only the tablets of the testimony that Moses had placed, only the Ten Commandments was there. But what we have read in Hebrew chapter 9 and verse 4, there is something else was there, not only the tablets of the covenant. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold covered ark of the covenant, this ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. So there are three things that mentioned here, but what we have read in the book of the Second Chronicles and First King, we find only the tablets of the covenant. That was what was inside the ark when Solomon brought the Ark of the Covenant inside the temple of God. I search and I would like to find in the commentaries if the staff of Aaron and the jar of manna had been taken out, or it is present but it's not recorded. I did not find. But what we can learn also from this, it might be easily slipped out from us important things that will take God's presence from our lives. You know, we learn from the jar of manna, we learn from it that God provides for us, and God also disciplines us how to spend our things. And we learn also that we need to rely on God for our daily provision. That's why we need to obey Him and faithfully follow the instruction of Him. And also we have learned from the staff or the rod of Aaron that had budded that we need to rely on the power of God and His presence to fight the enemies, and we need to live in holiness, to be a royal priesthood, to keep God's presence. And that's what God wants us to keep, not only His word, but the way we live your word, the way we live His word is also important in our life. You know, when David wanted to build the temple of the Lord told him that one of your descendants, your son, will build it. And truly, Solomon, his son, built the temple of the Lord. David left to Solomon all the things that he is needed. Solomon was very well provided. His father had prepared everything for him. All the material for building, much money, much resources was there. In addition, that there were no enemies left for Solomon to deal with, except a few people that David told him. But Solomon, he never entered a war. He was not in battle at all with any nation. He was at peace. David left the kingdom for him very well established. So what we learn from this? For Solomon, the jar of manna is not important because everything provided. For Solomon, the rod or the staff of Aaron is not much needed because he has no enemies. But that is not correct way of life. Not correct way of living in holiness to the Lord. Only few Christians appreciate and value what God had to provide for them, and they appreciate and value the presence of God in their life to deal with their enemies. Those of you Christians who value this, they will live in holiness, they will live in discipline, they will not seek wonder the resources, they will continue to fear God, they will not take advantage and abuse the grace of the Lord, they will behave because they value what God had given them. But most of the Christian, and that what Solomon behaved, when they have peace, they don't have a problem, they have good provision or they are well provided, they start to boast and start to do wrong and become a bad example to be a good steward of what God had given to them. What we can say, when everything available, Christians become corrupt. And that not should be the case. God will provide for us. God will deal with our enemies in order for us to continue to behave and walk faithfully in His ways, in the truth. You know, there is a bad atmosphere for the children to be raised up. You know, when everything is available for our children, when they have no hardship with anything to get, that way that everything is available, they don't have hardship, they don't have a problem, they don't have enemy, they don't have struggle, that would deceive them and make them replace God's presence with material things. They will start to think that we have everything, we don't need God, we don't behave, we don't need to save, we don't need to budget, we don't need to check our life and our attitude because we have everything. And that what made Solomon fall into the trap and start behaving the wrong way and brought himself away from God. I don't think that what is written in the book of 2 Chronicles and book of 1 Kings that does not mention, it did not mention Aaron's staff and the jar of manna. When it is not mentioned, it is not by chance, but it really it was not important for Solomon these things, because he was really at peace. He does not need miracles, he does not need God to deal with his enemies, because he has no enemies, and he does not need to go outside daily and to collect, because he has much, and David had left him much. He was deceived and did not appreciate God's presence and his importance in his life. When the Lord give us and provide for us, that will be a lesson for us to fear him more, to cherish and appreciate his presence in our lives. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 4, let's read some aspect of Solomon's life and how he was living. And First Kings chapter 4 verse 20 to 28, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. So he has no enemies. He has no nation against him. Solomon's daily provisions were 30 cores of fine flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 head of stall-fed cattle, 20 of pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl. For he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the river, from Tifsa to Gaza, and had peace on all sides. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety, each man under his own vine and fig tree. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for chariot horses and 12,000 horses. The district officers, each in his month, supplied provisions for King Solomon and all who came to the king's table. They saw to it that nothing was lacking. They also brought to the proper place their quotas of barley and straw for the chariot horses and the other horses. So we find that everything was available, and he should thank the Lord, he should appreciate it. But that make him think that he does not need God's presence, because he has much. When a Christian have much, when we have much, when you have much, we even forget to pray, give us today our daily bread. We may even forget, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And when we forget to pray and ask God to be in our life to protect us and provide for us, one time, you will find yourself in need, and you will find yourself in the middle of trouble and surrounded by enemy, because you had forgotten the importance of God's presence in your life. Also, let's read Let's read the book of First Chronicle and chapter 22 and verse 14. You know, David say, I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stones, and you may add to them. What David say that he had get great pain. He collected for the temple of the Lord. And Solomon received everything without hardship, without any pain. And this here the point. Why he did not appreciate it? Why it is most likely he was not appreciated for what he received? Because he did not labor or struggle or fight for it. He did not discipline himself to keep money, to keep gold, to keep bronze, to keep silver, to keep wood or stone. He get it all from his father with much amount and quantity. And that's why he live in luxury. He did not think to save or to budget, because he received it without toil. Some Christian, they will say, so we will not spend if God will give us. Then how people will say that we are blessed by the Lord? No. Let me answer you. What was in the hand of Solomon, it came from his father David. Then why David did not spend and show off and squander as Solomon squander? Because David, when he appreciated God's presence in his life, he followed the principle of the stewardship and of the discipline, that I cannot spend more than what is allocated for me from the Lord to spend. Solomon have no such understanding and insight, because he did not pass through hardship. Well, you may say that it is the Lord himself did not allow him to go into hardship, so that he did not appreciate or value God's presence. No, that is not the way to think. Solomon, he knows the principle, because he knows the word of God, and he should search and live according to the principle that God's word ordained for him. He should live according to the style that his father David lived. David thought about the future, but how about Solomon? Did he thought about the next generation that will follow him? That's what we are going to learn more in this message. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 6, we know that Solomon had built the temple. 1 Kings and chapter 6 and verse 37 to verse 37 and also verse 38. The foundation of the temple of the Lord was laid in the fourth year, in the month of Ziv. In the 11th year, in the month of Bul, the 8th month, the temple was finished in all its details according to its specifications. He had spent 7 years building it. King Solomon spent 7 years in building the temple of God. And let us read chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. It took Solomon 13 years, however, to complete the construction of his palace. So here for Hesperus 13 years. Double the period of time that Solomon had spent in serving the Lord. He saved himself and his ambition and his personal life more than God. This is how we know that God's presence was not much important for Solomon. Verse 7 and 8, he built the throne hall, the hall of justice, where he was to judge, and he covered it with cedar from floor to ceiling, and the palace in which he was to live, set farther back, was similar in design. Solomon also made a palace like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had married. So here there's not only one palace, different kind of palaces he built for his wife, the daughter of Pharaoh, for other wives, as we see later on. So he was really start to move far away from God. There's no more stewardship, whether we need that or we don't need it, if it is God's will or no. We have money. We can go ahead. We don't need to ask anyone. We don't need to ask God even. Many of the people, when God would bless them, instead of appreciating God's presence and God's provision for their life, they will start to squander what they had received from the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 24. Say the word of God. After Pharaoh's daughter had come up from the city of David to the palace Solomon had built for her, he constructed the supporting places. He constructed the supporting terraces. So here it confirmed that he had built also a palace, not only for himself but for the daughter of Pharaoh, because he had much. One of the things that take people from God is when they start to build their own houses. The book of Haggai was written because people are busy with their own house, but the house of God is in ruin. Many they take loans, they spend time, they've been a very big struggle until they build their own house, forgetting the house of God, the work of God. Why they need house? Because they are not appreciating or aware about God's presence in their life. They will be secure if they have their own house. The same trap that Solomon had fallen. He thought that if he will have his palace and house, he will be more secure. So one of the things that might take you from God is building houses or your own projects and things that God not ordained for you to do. The second point, I want to speak about how Solomon was departed from God's presence, and how you might be tempted to move away from God's presence. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 1, it says Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. Marrying a woman not ordained by God, he should not marry the daughter of Pharaoh. Many people, they depart from God's presence when you go for marriages not ordained by the Lord. in the book of Second Chronicle, chapter 8 and verse 11, you see, Solomon brought Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the palace he had built for her, for he said, my wife must not live in the palace of David, king of Israel, because the places the ark of the Lord has entered are holy. So here, the ark of God has passed through the house of David. So, Solomon knows, he knew that his wife, she's unclean. He should not marry her. Because himself, he said that she cannot be there. So here, Aaron's staff that indicate holiness also, and the royal priesthood was not in the heart of Solomon to be a royal priesthood for his family, for his household. Marriages and marriage ordained by God. And if your marriage not ordained by the Lord, you are losing God's presence in your life. One of the things that took God's presence from the life of King Solomon, or took Solomon away from God, is by the marriages that he had married. In 1 Kings chapter 11, and verse 1 to 6, chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 and 6, verse 1 to 6. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. So here, marriages, wrong marriages, brought David and will bring you away from God if you are not careful. We need to admonish the people, raise them up in the fear of the Lord, the disciple, and direct them how to have a family in accordance to God's will. The third thing that makes Solomon move away from God's presence is his attitude of spending on friends or people admire him, or the attitude of showing and the attitude to be generous so that you will impress others was also sign of not awareness about the principle of discipline, of how to spend the resources that God had entrusted to him. When the Queen of Sheba had visited King Solomon, we read in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 13, the word of God tells us, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, beside what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. So Solomon here gave her out of his royal bounty. He gave her so much because he did not labor of what he had received. He took it easily, and he thought it can be received easily. It is received easily when you keep God's presence. And when you keep God's presence will teach you how to be a good steward and how to spend on whom you need to spend. The Bible tells us that he who spends on the rich or give to the rich will become poor, because it is not God's will. We need to give and provide and help those who are in need. In the book of Second Chronicle in chapter 9 and verse 12 about what King Solomon had given to Queen Sheba, we can read the following. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for. He gave her more than she had brought to him. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. What we find here, that Solomon gave her more than what she had brought to him. No, how she will give us? We have to give her more, so that the people will say, oh, how he is a generous, see how he's a good man. That is boasting and showing of such kind of attitude. The next generation, they will learn bad things from us. If you will behave in this way, your children, your disciples, the people around you will learn a wrong impression about what Christianity all about. What else? We can read how King Solomon showed that he is not in line with God's presence. Second Chronicle and chapter 9. And we can read verse 17 to verse also 25. We will read what are the things that King Solomon did and show that he is not much interested in God's presence in his life. Then the king made a great throne inlaid with ivory and overlaid with pure gold. The throne had 60 steps, and a footstool of gold was attached to it on both sides of the seat were armrests with a lion standing beside each of them. 12 lions stood on the 60 steps, one at either end of each step. Nothing like it had ever been made for any other kingdom. And that's what the people want to know. What they like. Nothing like that. The first time. Now what Solomon was teaching the people? Showing off and and boasting. What his children will learn? Is God is happy with that? Showing off? Is that giving God the glory? I don't think so. That did that show that he feared God, or he wanted to show off? Verse 20, all King Solomon's goblet were gold, and all the household articles in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Nothing was made of silver, because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's day. God had blessed him, but he did not cherish that. The king had a fleet of trading ships manned by Hiram's men. Once every 3 years, it returned carrying gold, silver, and ivory, and apes, and baboons. He had a fleet of ships, cars, high models, laptops, and mobiles, and excessively high model and expensive. Because you have, wait until God will take away from you, then you will see how you will be disciplined. If you don't know how to fear God and respect Him and walk in His ways. Verse 22, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift, articles of silver and gold and robes, weapons and spices and horses and mules. Verse 25, Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horses which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. He has much things, he collect more things, because these things for him had replaced God's presence in his life. 1,000 women and the rest of the material things is sure that God's presence was not important in his life. Even when we read that inside the ark only the tablet of the covenant, but there's no the jar of manna and the staff of Aaron, we could understand after this brief description that there was something wrong had happened with Solomon. Why these two things are not there inside the Ark of the Covenant, as we have read in the book of Hebrews. Solomon disobeyed God, and God also dealt with Solomon, and he raised up enemies at the latter age of his life. God was angry with him, and we know that after his death, the kingdom had been divided from the hand of his son Rehoboam, and that to fulfill what God had promised to Solomon in the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 9, the Lord promised Solomon, he appeared to him and promised him that if he will walk with him in his way, he will establish him. And if he will not, the Lord also will break his covenant with him. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 1 to verse 9. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I commanded, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them. That's why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. When God's presence you don't cherish by not keeping God's commands, and start to live in a wicked way, not in the fear of the Lord, not following His statutes and principles and commands, then troubles will start, enemies will rise up, and the blessing of God will be taken away and far from you, and from your children, your disciples, and your descendants, and your ministry. That's why we need to cherish God's presence, keep it, and endeavor to walk with Him faithfully, so His approval and His seal will be on us, and His presence will satisfy us, fill us with joy as we endeavor to walk in His ways. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Bless each and everyone, O God, who listen to your word. O God, we believe that the purpose of sending this message had been accomplished in the name of Jesus, and receive the harvest, O God, and the fruit that you desire to see in the life of your church and your people. O God, take this message and spread it and make it reach those who are waiting to hear your word. O God, bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory, O God. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. And let your presence always be with us as we endeavor and continue to obey and walk in your ways. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.